Good morning. My name is Mike Widdop, and those of you that have read this smashing new magazine that Rob and others have put together, you'll see a small profile from me in there and a profile of several others. So if you haven't got a copy of that, please take one and read that. And another, I just noticed you've lots of leaflets about things you do in the church here. One of those is Let Us Pray, a prayer diary for October. And no doubt there'll be soon a prayer diary for November. And those fit in very neatly with my service this morning, because in the magazine, your strapline here is Changing Lives for Good Through the Power of God's Word. And that's one of the themes of the service this morning, as is prayer and the power of prayer. And it's also a service about well-being, because sometimes we're not well, or sometimes our loved ones are not well, or our neighbours. And as I was putting the service together this morning, this is the magazine from Church of Good Shepherd at Purford, Parish of Wisley and Purford, because unusually, I didn't put that in my profile. That was about when I went to Uganda recently, which more of that in later in the service. But I preach around the circuit once a quarter. I'm a member at Byfleet Methodist Church, where my wife and I have been for many years. And I worship at Church of the Good Shepherd in Purford, where I do some evangelism work with the evangelism team there. And their strapline is, He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. And He does that so that to know Jesus and to make Him known. So there's a few things that you're going to hopefully pick up in the service this morning. And we start our worship by saying a gathering prayer, a call to worship and a gathering prayer. As a family of faith, we gather together, new creations in Christ, united in praise and worship of our Lord and Saviour, who blesses us and does not let our sleep fit, our feet slip. So let's sing our first hymn, number 25. God is here as we, His people, meet to offer praise and prayer.
Thank you.
seated for a prayer of approach. Lord God, your kingdom can never be shaken. We let fall the stresses, strains, and busyness of the week past and draw near in worship with reverence and awe. Amen. I come this morning, as all local preachers and ministers come, in the power of God's Holy Spirit, to speak of God's words, God's promises, and the power of prayer, to sing hymns with you in worshipping the God who, as hymn 610, which we're going to sing in a moment, puts it in verse 1, best of all is God is with us. God will hold and never fail. Keep that truth when storms are raging. God remains, though faith is frail. The best of all is that God is with us. And when I was putting this service together, I remembered that we recently moved house back in May, not very far, only from Woodham into West Byfleet, Purford borders. And I thought, I have a plate at somewhere. Can I find it, having moved house back in May? And I looked everywhere for it, and I could not find it. And it's a very precious plate to me. I'll tell you why I've now got it, because luckily we have contact with the people who bought our house in Woodham. They're lovely people, and we keep bumping into them in the supermarket, and they're very pleased with the house that they bought from us. So I rang the lady up and I said, Jen, I don't suppose I left a plate, did I, hanging above my study door? And she said, yes, we like that plate. Well, I said, I'm sorry, but if I can come round and pick it up? So that was lucky. And it's a very special plate, because when my wife and I, Susan and I, lived in Panel in Harrogate, we went along to a little Methodist church there, and they decided that they thought that they ought to celebrate their 200th anniversary. And then when they did the research, they actually found that they'd been going 231 years. and I was quite involved there, and I said, well, I'll find a local artist who'll do perhaps come and do a painting of the church and make a commemorative plate. So that's Panel Methodist Church, Methodism in Panel, Harrogate, North Yorkshire, 1753 to 1984. And the inscription on the bottom is, the best of all is that God is with us. And those are said to be the dying words of John Wesley when he died, that the best of all is that God is with us. So it's a very special plate, and it also evidences the power of prayer, because when I couldn't find it, I said a prayer, and I said, please Lord, can I find this plate to bring along to Knaphill and put back in my study in my new house. So the best of all is that God is with us, and it's good to have something to be reminded of that. And we need God with us, because we're all on a journey, the journey of life. A journey when we have faith, when we hit difficult times, when we can turn to God's word, when we can pray, and pray for strength to continue the journey, the race that we are on. So we're going to see a short video now entitled Run the Race, The Faith That Perseveres.
Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest, after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith.
Run the race, keep the faith. Sometimes in life, and we're running that race, we fail. Sometimes we do things we shouldn't. Speak to people in ways that we shouldn't. And then we need to come to God and say, we're sorry. So let's say a prayer of confession. Lord God, we seek your forgiveness for our weaknesses. We are sorry for the times our eyes have been cast down, and we've trodden a worldly path rather than looking up to you. Lord, we are sorry. Forgive us, Lord. God, who understands the deepest thoughts of our hearts, stand with us and protect us when circumstances threaten to break us and we are tempted to do wrong. Lord, we are sorry. Forgiving. Loving and understanding God, we are not really bad people, tempted by big sins, but we are often tempted to let slip on doing good things. Those times when we say, I really can't be bothered. It's not my concern. Nothing to do with me. Those are times when apathy takes over. Or we go with the rest of the crowd for a quiet life, even when we know we should stand for a different viewpoint. Loving God, who understands what it's like to be tempted, stand with us and protect us from apathy lack of compassion, prejudice and ignorance, settling for cheap, simplistic answers and an easy life. Lord, we are sorry when we have spoken, acted or behaved in ways that we ought not to have done. Forgive us, Lord. Thank you for your gracious mercy and your love for us that never wanes. Amen. And we say together the Lord's Prayer in its traditional form. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Let's sing again hymn 610. Best of all is that God is with us. God will hold and never fail. Keep that truth when storms are raging. God remains, though faith is frail. Just before we have our first of our two readings, sometimes when we pick hymns and we're singing the verse and something suddenly resonates, and in verse 4 it says, best of all is God is with us in our joy and through our pain, till that final acclamation, life is Christ and death is gain. That's a quote from the Bible. I'm afraid I can't tell you the verse. That resonated with me because It's 13 years ago almost since our son, well, our two sons, Ian, died of a brain tumour. And shortly after Ian died and my wife Susan was tidying out his bedroom, he'd moved out and was married, but we still had a room that was Ian's room because it had always been Ian's room. And she found a prayer that just sellotaped behind the bed. And that was a prayer which ended with those very words. And it's a quote from Corinthians, I think. Life is Christ and death is gain. And Ian, who we didn't really know how much faith Ian had, although he became a Catholic at the end of his life because he married a Catholic lady, but he'd had that little prayer by his bedside for many, many years. And no doubt that was a strength to him, that life is Christ and death is gain. And that was a great strength to my wife and I, finding that prayer just sellotaped, hidden away behind his bed when we cleared his room out. So I thought I'd share that with you. Now, let's have our first a reading from Psalms and then a reading from Luke's Gospel.
This reading is from Psalms 34, verses 1 to 14. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. I will glory in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his holy people, for those who fear him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Thanks be to God.
Now Ella's going to come and read from Luke's Gospel.
This reading is from Luke chapter 24, verses 13 to 36. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened, and as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it's the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it's nearly evening and the day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem, and there they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Sue and Ella, for reading those readings. And we're going to sing again, and we're going to sing number 248, "I heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me and rest." Lord, may these words that I have prepared to say this morning be the words that you wish me to share with the congregation here this morning, and may your Holy Spirit be with me as I speak them. Amen. It's a big responsibility being a preacher or a minister, but for me and for other local preachers, it's a big responsibility. Especially when you say things, as I said at the beginning of the service, I come this morning in the power of God's Holy Spirit to speak of God's words, God's promises, and the power of prayer, to sing hymns with you, to lead you in worship, and to share with you that the best of all is that God is with us, the God who will hold on to us and never fail us. Keep that truth when storms are raging. God remains, though faith is frail. So now I speak to you firstly of God's words from Scripture, those two readings that we've just heard, and God's promise to hold on to us. He will never fail us when storms are raging in our lives, when life is difficult. Keep God's promises. God promises to hold on to us. Keep those promises in your minds. Our faith at such times may be frail, but God continues to hold on to us as we persevere. The text for my sermon this morning is firstly a verse from our God's Old Testament reading, Psalm 34. I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. I picked that psalm deliberately this morning as our Old Testament reading because that verse in that reading has helped me tremendously recently because I have been unwell. And to be honest, life has been a struggle at times, and my faith in God has at times been frail. And yet I am here this morning to remind you and me that when storms are raging in our lives, God will hold on to us and never fail us. Keep that truth when storms are raging. God remains, though faith is frail. I am convinced, despite my recent unwellness, that God wishes me to be at peace about my unwellness. And he's shown me that in several ways, usually through words of Scripture. And those words I read from Psalm 34 was one of those verses that helped to strengthen me. And the reading from Luke's Gospel, I picked that because, as those of you who've read my profile, something of my profile in the magazine, your magazine, I recently, back in May, went to Uganda on mission with the parish of Wisley and Purford. And that particular scripture, the road to Emmaus, was the one that we took as our theme. And as we went around visiting various women's groups and churches and schools, we shared with them in drama, usually, that particular passage, the road to Emmaus. And an important verse there this morning was this that we heard. Jesus said to his disciples, following his appearing to them on the road to Emmaus, "Peace be with you." Jesus came that we might be at peace with ourselves and our situations, whatever our situations. So let's take a look at our reading from Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, that ended with Jesus saying to his disciples, "Peace be with you." Who of the two disciples of Who were the disciples that were with Jesus on that road? Just two of them. Only one is named Cleophas. Let's imagine for a moment Cleophas and his friends, once they'd recognised Jesus when he broke bread with them, standing in amazement, perhaps embracing in great joy, asking each other, "Wasn't it like a fire burning in us when he talked to us on the road and explained the scriptures to us?" Their world had been turned upside down by Jesus dying on the cross. And here they were. This person was standing in front of them, resurrected from the dead. Because of his love for his despondent disciples, bewildered after hearing of his crucifixion in Jerusalem, graciously Jesus came and met them on the road to Emmaus. Graciously, Jesus cleared away the fog of confusion. He showed to them the heart of God and his plan of salvation. And finally, he revealed himself to them. He was alive, risen from the dead. At the moment the stranger reveals who he was, he vanishes from their sight. But he has not gone. He is still visible to those who have the eyes of faith. And that story of the road to Emmaus is a symbol of the Christian life. This story is about ordinary despair and times when life is far from easy. For us, perhaps, when we, our family or friends are troubled, unwell or simply weary of how life or others are treating us. It is a story about meeting a stranger, hearing his words of comfort, sitting down at a table and sharing a meal. The story is often read at Easter about the meaning of Easter for us, but it's also a story for reading and reflection on at any time of year. It enables us to see that the risen Lord gives hope and joy when all we see sometimes is disappointment or discouragement and despair. It enables us to see the world not as a place of death, decay and defeat, but as a place of hope, of waiting, of moving towards God's final victory. The change that took place in Cleophas and the unnamed disciple as they walked along the road to Emmaus and talking with the stranger was once described by an unknown author like this. Their lives prior to this moment were like a smouldering fire that gives no light, just smoke to cloud things up. But once they came into the presence of the risen Lord, their hearts were ablaze, a burning fire giving light for all to see. And they saw, understood, and believed, all because of the risen Lord Jesus' victory. That became their restoring hope. It became the anchor of their lives. And it can be the anchor of our lives too. Christ is risen from the dead. Christ is the saviour and hope of the world. When our Emmaus road is filled with discouragement and despair, let's walk it with Jesus. Walking with Jesus, our road will become a highway of companionship, conversation, belief, and hope. So let me talk to you briefly about the power of prayer. Can we have the first picture there? That picture is of my wife and I have twin grandsons. They're just four, and when we went on to them a couple of months ago, they were running round the house, communicating with each other using these cardboard mobile phones. They'd obviously pick those up at Sunday school, I think. Because prayer is actually simply talking to God. They weren't talking to God, they were playing, but I hope at some point in the future they will indeed talk to God. And we talk to God. Can we have our second slide? Recently, I've been reading one of the recommended books from Spring Harvest 2019, How to Pray, by Pete Gregg. Pete Gregg is the founder of the 24/7 prayer movement and is senior pastor at Emmaus Road Church, Guildford. That's a good name for a church, isn't it? Emmaus Road. A week ago, whilst my wife Susan and I were spending a few days at our caravan near Weston-super-Mare, I sat down quietly one beautiful sunny morning with Pete Gregg's book and read a section of the book entitled, Where's Your Chair? Where's your chair to talk to God and He to you? Let me show you a picture of my chair. My chair is in my study in the house that we moved to back in May. Very lucky to have the study and a very comfortable chair to sit in and each morning to talk to God and He to me. So that's my chair in my study in West Byfleet. Now, I don't want you to tell me where your chair is, but I hope that you too have a chair where you can sit sometimes and talk to God. But that's my chair, and as I say, that's in our new home, which we moved to back in May, when we downsized from a too large house for the two of us in Woodham to a bungalow. And I thank the Lord for moving there and helping me to settle down to life with Susan there. But moving house is very stressful. How many of you have moved house in the recent past? Have many of you moved house? No, you won't be so happy where you are. But it's very stressful moving house, and I'm afraid the stress of moving house got to me, which is why I became unwell, because I was doing all the things that I normally do, some local preaching, some spiritual mentoring, prayer ministry, evangelism team, social activities and grandchildren, and then all the workmen that came and went, some good, some not so good. And one recommendation, if you do move house, don't have two electricians coming on the same day. That was the final straw, two electricians on the same day. Now, a thing that strengthened me greatly through that time was the view from my study window, which I think you can just make out there. That's a sculpture that we bought at Wisley Gardens some years ago, a present for my 60th birthday from some of my friends. So I splashed out and bought a sculpture from Wisley Garden. It was the cheapest one that I could find. It's an eagle made out of bicycle parts. And one particular day when I was feeling very stressed, I looked at the lovely view out of my window at the eagle and was reminded of the verse from Isaiah talking about rising like eagles. And so that much strengthened me. And that's a way that God does speak to us and strengthens us sometimes in our weaknesses. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. So that Bible verse even now comes to my mind when looking at the lovely view from my study window. And we can of course pray anywhere or everywhere at any time. The important thing is that we pray. Through prayer, the word of God, as Hebrews 4 verse 12 puts it, the word of God is living and active. And one way I was very active, sadly only a few days after we moved house, but I went off to Uganda for 16 days. And so let's have just a few pictures from Uganda. One of the things we did was a team of half a dozen of us, we visited schools in the northern part of Uganda. And we prayed with the schools. We did a little drama on the Emmaus Road, and then we would pray with them. And at this particular school, after we'd done our little drama about the road to Emmaus, they said, "Will you come and pray with us?" So here's our next picture. So I was taken to a pile of bricks and asked to pray for a pile of bricks, because their school hall and the classroom were made of marram, which is just mud, made into bricks. And so, of course, when the rain comes, sometimes those disintegrate and they'd collapsed. So they bought some bricks, and I was given the task of saying, "Will you pay for this pile of bricks, that in time we will be able to build those bricks into a hall and a classroom for us?" Which I did. And just one more slide from Uganda, and an evidence of the power of prayer. The young man there, that's Nelson, and the older man is Nelson's dad. And there's a pile of bricks there as well. Now, Nelson was on the streets in Kasese, where we were, in Uganda, and the charity that Church of Good Shepherd in Purford set up 10 years ago, that one of the things that the local team does there is work with street children. Some of those children have no homes to go to, some do. Nelson did have a home to go to, but he argued with his dad, he'd left, and he'd gone on the streets. And our team in Uganda worked with him, met him, prayed for him. We prayed for him back in the UK, and he's now back with his dad, helping him make bricks and growing vanilla, which is, for those of you who buy vanilla pods in Waitrose or somewhere else, they're very expensive. They could well come from Uganda, because they grow vanilla there. It's quite a profitable crop. And so we went to see Nelson, and his dad was so grateful that Nelson had been worked with and encouraged to come back to his dad and help him make bricks and help him to grow vanilla. So just a couple of examples there of the power of prayer. And as we come to the final, can we just have the next slide, Alan? And that's Pete Gregg's advice for prayer, that when we pray, firstly we should pause, we should rejoice that we have life, even at difficult times, search for something that we can rejoice about, and then ask God, take our needs to Him in prayer, or the needs of others, and then yield to God's will. So to conclude, I believe that those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. I believe that God, through His Son Jesus, wishes us all to be at peace in this life. I believe that He does that so that we can bless others as we witness to others of God's love for us. And I close with a quote from God's word in Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 to 10. You reap whatever you sow, do not give up. Let us work for the good of all. Do not give up when life is difficult. Remember these words. Do not fear, for I am with you. I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. And words also from John Wesley himself. Do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, to all the people you can, as long as you can. May the Lord strengthen us all, that we may do all the good we can to all the people we can, as long as we can. Amen. We're going to now have our prayers of intercession. Raj, can you come to our prayers of intercession?
Good morning. I stand here, if I can borrow the thunder, product of prayer 53 years ago when I was hoping to come to UK to become a nurse to train here. Here I stand as an example that my prayer was answered. So here you are. I share with you a couple of things related with the intercession and prayer. Hear my prayer, O God of my righteousness. You have given me relief when I was in distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer. The Lord hears when I call to him. Lift up the light of your face upon us, O Lord. You have put more joy in my heart than they have when their grain and wine around abound. In peace I will lie down and sleep. You alone, O Lord, asked me to dwell in safety. That was Psalm. So here I am. As I start the prayer of intercession, I would like you to share the Psalm. Just now I've done 4. And now I do 25 because they are powerful. They are the one that when I'm distressed, I turn to the Psalm. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in you. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your path. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of all my salvation. On you I wait all the day. That was Psalm 25. Dear Lord God Almighty, our Father in heaven, as Paul said, he said, I urge then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority that we have, may live in peaceful and quiet lives, in godliness and holiness. This intercession is based on the love of God through Jesus Christ. At KMC, this is our prayer of intercession. God has given us his Son, Jesus Christ, to save us, and he taught us to pray. Therefore, let us pray for our head of the government, therefore, for our Queen, Her Majesty, Queen Elizabeth II, and her family, and the elected government and the opposition parties, as the drama goes on, that they may be guided to uphold justice, equality, fairness, goodwill, an action that enhances physical, mental, and spiritual well-being and balance life. Let us pray for the mercy of God Almighty through His Son, one and only beloved Jesus Christ, our Savior. Let us pray that not well-off are upheld, social and health care enhanced standard of living, dignities and self-esteem. And as a psychiatric nurse and general nurse, I know how important it is, whichever part of the world you live. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Let us pray for the security forces and keepers of the law and order. We pray against terrorism, knife crime, and inhuman acts in UK and abroad, the victims of human trafficking, as we heard the sad story of 39 people in refrigerator. Modern slavery, believe it or not, is happening in UK, not just other part of the world. Let us pray for the use of our resources purposefully and protect the environment. It is our duty because God has made us the keeper of His earth, the nature God Almighty created for us. All human and non-human creatures have the right to live in this earth. Let us pray for all who are bereaving, as we know, not just the 39 people, the many more, the parents of the boy or the man who was killed outside an airport base. Remember their grief as we do of many others in our midst, not just what we hear in the headlines. Let us pray for all bereaving their loss, their homeland, and those who are in suffering acutely, chronically, and terminally ill in their mind, in their body, and spirit, which I witnessed for many years. Lord God Almighty, graciously hear us through Jesus Christ, your beloved one and only Son. You sacrifice Him for our sins. Let us pray for people who have lost their jobs, as we know how painful it is. We heard it, some airline or some travel company going. Let us think of them this Christmas and their family and many others. Those facing redundancy and financial difficulties at home and abroad. Difficulties, crisis, those who are made homeless are homeless, sleeping in the street of UK and abroad. We also think of the people in the Middle East and the other parts of the world where this goes on. Refugees and prisoners of conscience and the politics abroad and at home. Lord, in your mercy, hear us. Let us pray for food banks and clothing banks and the community freeze and interfaith dialogues. We in NAPIL are blessed because we are all working the churches, including our church, KMC. Let us pray for the warmongers. Let them know the peace of God, the love of God. And those who use religion to justify murder and torture of fellow human beings, that they might find God's mercy. Let us pray for the world leaders. I won't name them in case they're after me. Leaders of the nations who will do anything non-godly for their egos and powers and dominance and over military and economically weaker nations. Neighbors, let us pray for those in the last 24 to 12 hours or just now who are faced with tragedy, tragic loss of life of loved ones, loss of property, and those affected by epidemic diseases or human acts. Pollution affecting non-human and human, whether it is on sea or land. Let us pray for mercy and forgiveness of our sins through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Almighty God appointed Him. Let us pray for His churches and followers. Lord, in your mercy, God, hear our prayers. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us, and save us from being led into temptation, and save us from being led into evil. Deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom, the power and glory, forever and ever. I pray, mighty God, help us to understand each other, and above all, to love each other as your Son has shown through his sacrifice. Amen.
Thank you, Raj, for those prayers. As time is moving on, we'll just have our final hymn, and then we'll have a personal prayer, a sending out, and a blessing, and we'll take up our offertory during the hymn. So we'll have our hymn, which is number 167, Colours of Day Dawn Into the Mind. And that particular hymn, some of you may know, but it was written by Sue Mack, who used to be worship at Walton-on-Thames Methodist Church. And it's a lovely hymn. It speaks of going out into the streets and sharing God's love. And that's my message from this morning, that God blesses us, that we might go out and bless others. So let's sing and take up our offertory, Colours of Day Dawn Into the Mind. Lord, we thank you that we are here this morning to worship you, to hear your word, and to pray. And we just thank you for the gifts that we now bring and we offer to you for the work of this church and this circuit. May they be used wisely, that others may come to know you as we know you. Amen. So we say, finally, a personal prayer, all of us together. Lord, help me to take your hand freely offered, so that I may walk tall and rejoice in each new day in the freedom your love and kindness crowns me with. Amen. I send you out. God sends you out with this prayer. Thank you, Lord, that as we walk refreshed into a new week, we go with head held high and giving thanks for our freedom to know you, to follow you, and to share your love for us with the people we meet. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord our God. Amen. Amen.